Amen.
You could just remain standing. It is so great to have Benjamin and Victoria Smith with us here tonight. They come by a couple times a year. Their family, their mom and dad, comes. They'll be a little bit later, I think, actually next March, April, somewhere around that time. But Lenny and Kathy Smith started the work there in Antigua years ago. And now Benjamin and Victoria. Benjamin kind of grew up there, came back here and met Victoria, I believe, selling flowers, guys. So if you go sell some flowers, maybe there's hope. I'm just throwing that out there. It's just a thought. It's a long story. They had a greenhouse. So, but anyway, Benjamin, it's so great to have you here, Brother Smith. Come on up and share your burden.
You know what they say, if you're trying to attract a pretty wife, grow pretty flowers. Amen. And I believe we won on both counts in Jesus' name. You can be seated tonight. It's wonderful to be here. You feel that expectation in the house? Amen. God is here, and where God is, all things become possible. I'm so thankful I don't serve a dead God. My God is a healer. He's a redeemer. He's a way maker. He's our Savior. Amen. And He should be our closest friend. Amen. Again, thank you, Pastor Grant, for this privilege to stand before you. Thank Bishop for your years of wisdom that you've imparted to me and my wife and the leadership team here at Calvary Gospel. Amen. I do believe the worship team did a wonderful job. Amen. They're right on track with where we're going tonight. Amen. You know, we always like to talk about outreach, and you know I'm going to talk about that tonight somewhere along the course of talking about Antigua. We do believe in outreach in Antigua. Amen. It's what we eat, breathe, and sleep. Amen. It's souls, because we don't have much time left. And the truth is, we need to do all we can to reach this world before it's too late. Amen. That needs to be our heartbeat. It's His heartbeat. Amen. And I hope His heartbeat becomes our heartbeat. It is a growing process, but do let Him grow it in you. Amen. Let Him perfect that in you. Because if we don't have a burden for souls, I do question our commitment to the kingdom, because it's all about reaching the lost. Everything He did was to minister to the lost and dying. That's our. You ever struggle for purpose? That's our purpose. That's our reason for being here. Amen. It is wonderful to be here. I greet you on behalf of my father and our pastor there. Amen. And all the wonderful saints of Praise Tabernacle, I greet you in that wonderful name which is above every name. Anyone know that name? Yeah. Amen. How many of you are thankful for that name? Amen. That power that it has in baptism, the power it has in prayer. The Bible says at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Amen. I'm not going to wait to confess. I'm going to confess right now. Amen. I'm not going to wait till I see Him high and lifted up. I'm going to do it right now. Amen, and I encourage you to do it right now. Amen. Well, it's wonderful to be here. Just to give you a little background, we will be showing some pictures in a little bit. If you don't know where Antigua is, we do have a map out on our table. And I do encourage you, if there's anything on that table, we have music CDs from our young people, our outreach t-shirts, keychains, get it now. And here's why. Me and my wife are expecting a little baby boy. Amen. And babies take a lot of room, or so I've been told. So we won't be having much of a table in the future, so if you want it, do get it now. And I'm just going to answer this, because once I tell people we're expecting a baby boy, the next question is, what's the name? I'm going to ask you, please, thank you for your interest, but the name will not be revealed till he's born. Amen. You can even try and ask my grandma and aunt. They don't have the name yet either. Amen. Jesus knows, and that's enough. Hallelujah. Amen. Once he's born, we will reveal the name and send out pictures and all the other good things that go along with that. But I do thank you for your prayers there. Amen. Now, if you want, again, you can see Antigua on our map in the back. But we are located about 45 minutes southeast of Puerto Rico, if you know where that is. It's in the Caribbean. Kind of, if you think of the Caribbean islands, there's that arch in the Atlantic that arches out and goes down towards South America. We're right on that arch, the outer arch there in the Atlantic. Antigua, though, is a very small island compared to Wisconsin and North American standards. We're only about 108 square miles. So it's not very big. It's only 14 miles long by 11 miles wide. But on that island, we have 87,700 souls that need Jesus. And we're committed to reaching every one of them. Amen. It's our privilege to be a part of the work that God is doing there. Just to give you a little bit more background, we do have a 15% sales tax. Yeah, I know. Isn't it wonderful what you have here in Wisconsin? 5-6%. That's wonderful. Because we went to bed Monday night with 0% sales tax, and we woke up Tuesday morning, the government said, hey, we need more money. So they said, well, let's do some sales tax. Well, not 5% or 10%, 15% overnight. That's how we do things overseas. Amen. It's much more speeded up. There's not so much bureaucracy. There's no paperwork. It's just the president says it, and it's done and over with. Amen. There, in an average week, our people work between 55 and 75 hours a week. For that time, they're going to make about $131. So thank you, Jesus, for what you make here. We don't have no such thing as overtime, nor sick benefits, or things of that nature. It's just you work. If you don't work, they'll fire you and find a new employee. Because employment is something that they have plenty of employees to go around in the Caribbean. A dozen of eggs is $3.97. A gallon of gas is $4.80. And that makes us want to shout. I don't know if you ever want to shout about $4.80 gas, but it used to be $5.50. Woo! And in all the time we've been there, gas prices have only dropped twice. So we want to shout about $4.80 gas. And I don't need to ask, but I'm going to ask anyone. But by show, woo! Anyone like milk in the house? All right, a gallon of fresh milk is going to cost you $9.34. So you, yeah, that's what I do every time we go back. But we don't drink fresh milk down there, really, unless God puts it on sale for some reason. Otherwise, you generally drink powdered milk. I'm not complaining. I'm just letting you know. A gallon of ice cream costs $14.50. So if you thought you liked milk, you like ice cream even less. So I tell people, this is what I tell people, because they look at me and say, well, how on earth did you get that big? Well, the Bible says good news makes the bones fat, and I'm full of good news. It definitely isn't the dairy, I'll tell you that much. Amen. Hallelujah. But with that being said, not to end on a funny note, I want my wife to come, and she's going to greet you in the precious name of Jesus and share some stories. Can we give her a hand clap of praise?
Praise the Lord, church. I'm excited to be here tonight. Not just because it's good to be home, but because Jesus is here. I want to encourage each and every one of you. You know, God has given us so many opportunities to be a witness. And our little guy, even though he's still inside, he has been a witness to our vice president and our president as well. I know last time when I was here, I gave you a little bit of an update. Maria is our prime minister's wife. She is about the same age as my husband and I. And she and her mother, who was a former prime minister's wife, are so excited. We are so excited to see them. In Antigua, baby dedications, baby blessings are a huge deal. So when we get home and our little guy is born, we're going to be having a baby dedication. And I ask that you please pray for that, because there we'll be attending our vice president, our president, and his wife, along with whoever else God brings. So we're so excited for that. So use what's in your hands. Use every opportunity. Sometimes we bypass what God is trying to do because we say, oh, God doesn't want to use that. It's too little. But remember, every opportunity, God has placed things in your life for a reason. And so sometimes we look past those things, but try not to look past those things and say, God, I'm available. What can you use? Because we've been trying to work on our vice president and president, but God has used this baby, and we believe he's going to use this little guy for whatever else he's got in store. But it doesn't just have to be a baby. It can be anything, any situation in our life that we're going through, whether we think it's bad. Remember, God can use it for his glory. We have to let him use it for his glory. But he can use it for his glory. So we're so excited to be here tonight. Look forward to seeing each and every one of you after service. God bless you.
And as my wife did say, we are believing that we're going to pray him through to the Holy Ghost, if not at that service, sooner. Amen. So do keep that in prayer. Because here's what I say. You know, we travel a lot to a lot of different places. And so many times we get an inferior complex in North America. People are people. Doesn't matter if they're the beggar on the street or the president sitting behind the desk of your nation. People are people. And we have to commit to reaching every person. Whether it be the beggar on the street, our mayor, our governor, they all need Jesus. Amen. And I can't let anything stop me from being that light and witness. Amen. Amen. If you could get that presentation ready, we want to show you some pictures of Antigua, give you a little bird's eye view. Amen. If they could put that up, we're going to start it by kind of showing you a little overview of as you fly into Antigua. Amen. This is kind of some of the pictures we see as we fly in and as we're praying for all those souls. There's all the houses we fly over every year saying, Jesus, we want to witness in that house. We want to pray those families through, baptize them in your precious name. Amen. Because they need Jesus. Amen? Amen. Madison needs Jesus too. So just as we go overseas, we need you to go in your city. Right, there's our state college. Do keep that kind of picture in the back of your mind. I'll tell you some more testimonies at the end of our presentation about what God is doing at our state college campus. He's doing wonderful things. We're able to teach Bible studies there freely to any one of the young people that are interested and hungry for God. We try and hold weekly Bible studies there. Amen. Last year we were hit with Hurricane Gonzalo. It was supposed to be a tropical storm, but we ended up having Category 3 damage. This is a church property. You're seeing trees knocked over, some snapped right in half. We've been going through a two-year drought, so a lot of the trees are very weak. But it was such strong winds, it even sucked aloe plants right out of the ground. There's our church signs. We didn't have no building damage, but we did have the church sign was blowing down. We also had the windshield on one of our vehicles. A tree fell on top of it. You're going to see it right there. And it punctured a hole in our windshield. Thankfully, in Antigua, you can drive with holes in your windshield. So we just recently got that fixed like a week ago. Amen. So just let you know the process of Antigua. Amen. But no matter what storm you go through, God always has a promise. You can't quite see it, but there's two rainbows there right over the church. Amen. I'll tell you more about this in a little bit. But there's where we're actually, that's the baptismal area, but we're putting our other son's room right there on top of the baptismal tank. So where he might be sleeping, he's always having birth underneath him. Amen. That's just some of the pictures of us building it. You know, my father always taught me work smarter, not harder. So we put up the roof, and then we put up the walls. That way we could work in the shade. You ever, on the next picture, pause it for me, if you will. You ever pray for something and wonder if God's really listening? Pause it right there. Thank you. And no, you don't have to raise your hand, but I know you've probably all been there at least once or twice. God, are you really paying attention? What I want to point to, this looks insignificant. I mean, there's no Holy Ghost fire falling here, but what that is a water pipeline. We have been praying 10 years for them to put water in our village. I know in America we don't understand waiting 10 years for water, but that's a 10-year prayer request. Since we've owned the church property, we have been praying that they would put in water, because here's the stipulation. We have cisterns, and the water really doesn't affect us, but here's the stipulation. The government refuses to put in a road until the water pipes are in. Because how it works in Antigua, the departments don't work together. And all the time, once the government gets a nice road in, the water department comes and rips up the road to put their water pipes in. So the government's had enough. They said, we refuse to put roads in anywhere. They're not water pipes. So thankfully, after 10 years of praying and fasting, we now have water. Now hit play for me. Here's a neat thing. Right next to the church, they put a fire hydrant. They don't put fire hydrants anywhere in Antigua. So I don't know. I just feel in the Holy Ghost. They're expecting a Holy Ghost and fire outpouring. Woo! Amen. And they put a... And there they are, continuing to dig through the village. So we're excited. Now we can pray that God will put that road in that we've been waiting for. And we talked about this last year, but we ran a Bible school 6 semesters long. Amen. Pause it for me, if you will. I just want to give recognition to these gentlemen. I'm going to start on your left. The gentleman on the left is Geraldo Brown. He's our drummer or one of our bus drivers. Next to him, you see Eugene Brown. That's his older brother. He's our keyboardist and music director for the church. In the middle, you see Nick Simon. He's another one of our bus drivers. Amen. On the second from the right, you see Dwayne Simon. They're not related. He's actually a college professor at our state college. He's the one that's helped us to open a lot of the doors there. And then on the right is Shamari. Shamari Anthony. All these young men, when I start talking about outreach, these are our core people that are always on outreach every single week. And we just want to give them recognition for their hunger and their desire for the kingdom of God. They're out there every week. Amen. And we thank God for them and the difference that they're making. As you see our face a lot of times, but these are the faces behind the scenes. These are the faces that help give all the reports that we talk about. Because it's not a one-man show. If you ever thought this was a one-man show, you're in the wrong kingdom. This is a body. Amen. And we're all supposed to work together. So I want to give them recognition for their hard work and labor of love. They all help us do mechanics, clean everything we need. They're there. And I look at it like this. I just say it's God's mercy on me. Because any of you that worked with my father know it's hard to keep up with him. Amen. So God's mercy is he's given us a lot of young men so we can rotate in and out just to keep up with him. Amen. We generally do about two at a time just to keep up by the grace of God. And I think that's why we have a son and not a girl, because God knows we need more men to build that building in Jesus' name. But in Jesus' name, those are the young men that you're going to see. You're going to hear more about them. God's not through with them yet. We're taking the island by storm. We do believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we thank you for your prayers and support. Yeah, play for me, please. Amen. Show you a few more pictures. Amen. That's some of the flowers at the church there. That lets me know we're changing gears, just in case you're wondering why we put those in there. Amen. Pause it for me, if you will. Amen. I don't have my pointer tonight, but the lady in, you kind of see the names. You have Dawn Burnett in the red, and then going to the left, you have Janicia Burnett, her daughter, and Kadeem. Met them in outreach. Me and Eugene were one Saturday. We were on outreach, and we're just going to a village that, you know, we thought we had reached every house, but God just wouldn't let us leave that area. So we said, okay, God, now lead us where you want us, because we've covered every street to our knowledge. And we don't know why we're here, but he led us to a back little alley and a back little cove. And we found two houses back there. Well, one happened to be owned by Dawn and her husband, Kester. He's not in this photo, but they're all now at attending church. But at this time, we had met them on a Saturday afternoon, and I began to teach her outreach Bible study. And all of a sudden, she says, I see it. I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. I said, you're exactly right. I said, Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. The only way to be saved is to be baptized in that precious name of Jesus. Amen. So she said, and then I told her, you know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. No man's promised tomorrow. So she said, can we do it today? I said, most certainly we can. I said, but before we go back to the church to baptize, she said, is there anyone else that wants to be baptized? And her husband already had the Holy Ghost, and he wasn't actually there at the time. It was just the three of them. But then she brought out Kadeem, and I talked to him and taught him a Bible study, and he said, yeah, I want to come back as well. And I said, well, before we go back, anyone else in the house? And Janicia came back, and we finished teaching all three of them a Bible study. And I'm thankful to say all three of them came back to the church. They were all baptized in the precious name of Jesus, and Kadeem received the Holy Ghost as he came up out of the waters of baptism. Amen. The gentleman in the middle, his name is Kenroy. He's actually the nephew of Dawn Burnett. And it was kind of neat because we actually met both of them within about a week apart, but they didn't talk to each other. We just happened to have people all stationed throughout Antigua to talk to both of them in different areas at the same time. And they showed up at church about a week apart, and then they saw each other and realized that they both came to the same church, and then we realized that they were related. But do keep him in prayer. He is having some issues because of how we eat in Antigua. A lot of the food isn't the best, and it can cause a lot of other side effects and issues. So do keep him in prayer. He's zealous for God. Amen. We're believing God for a miracle, and even though his health always hasn't been the best, he's always telling everyone about Jesus. You know, and that's why I tell people we really have no excuse. This is just a side note, and I just want to interject this in here. There was a lady, we did celebrate the name in Cleveland 2 years ago, and they do it kind of yearly. It's where all the churches get together for a unity service, and they have a big outreach push and whatnot. And they had us there the first year to help teach them an outreach and take them out on the street. But there was a lady in that service that had heard our presentation, heard what we did in Antigua, and she said, you know what, God, I'm in a wheelchair, and I wanna make a difference. I want to do something. And even in her wheelchair, after working, she worked all morning and afternoon, and even after working in a wheelchair, she, in the course of a month and a half, still talked to over 700 people. We have no excuse. Amen. And because of that, God blessed her mightily during that service. And this is just a side note, but I want to make that point of, we make so many excuses living for God why we can't do something. But truly, when God saved you, he removed every excuse. When you receive that name in baptism, his spirit at the Holy Ghost, he removed every excuse. Amen. But God's looking for people that will go. Amen. I remember during the services we prayed for, and she had a really debilitating bone disease where just the weight of her body, if she would stand up, her bones would actually splinter and she would fall to the ground because her bones had become very brittle and hollow just from this disease that she had. And she also had diabetes and some other things. And through the course of the end of the service, we were praying, and a number of people got the Holy Ghost throughout that service. And I remember God laid it on my heart to go pray for her. And we went and prayed for her. And I said, ma'am, and Brother Stone King's always been a mentor in my life, so I do it kind of how he does it. I said, ma'am, we're just going to take every step in Jesus' name. So I grabbed her by one arm. Her son grabbed her by the other. And I said, let's take every step in Jesus. And she did. Every step we took, I'd say, in Jesus' name. Just like we were singing about tonight. Say that name. And that's what we did. Jesus' name. Every time we took a step, that weight on my arm got lighter and lighter. She didn't realize what was happening, but her son and myself did. And finally, there was almost no weight there. She still kept her arm. I leaned over and I said, hey, ma'am. I said, you know what? You're not putting any weight on my arm. She did one of these numbers. You know, she was testing the water. Kind of like Peter, you know, he probably did one of these numbers too. So she was in there and she was going, hmm. And then she started getting a little excited. And she started going like this. And then she started dancing. But here's the thing. Then she walked back and sat down in her wheelchair. And see, that's what so many of us do. God gives us the Holy Ghost. God gives us baptism, washes all those sins away. And we're so thankful. And we've been delivered the gospel. And then we go back and sit down. So I said, nah, this ain't going to happen. I ran over to my wife. I said, God, just heal her. Get back in there. So she went over there. If you think I'm a bulldog, just watch out for her. Amen. She ran in there and she said, you're getting back up. She says, well, I don't know. She says, you're getting back up. And we walked her again in Jesus' name. And I had the privilege to put her wheelchair in the trunk of the car. We just saw her about 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks, a month ago. And she's still walking. But what would have happened if she didn't prepare the soil? What would have happened if she didn't go out and teach those Bible studies? See, it's and this is just tying into our next portion of the service. But I want to ask you, what are you doing with what God's given you? Amen. Can you hit play for me? Because all the pictures that you're going to see in these are just people that God's placed in our hands. And we said, God, you know what? I'm going to reach them. Just like you see Eric and CJ here and Kervin. They're just people that said, I need Jesus. And someone was willing to say, hey, I can teach a Bible study. Doesn't take a college education to teach a Bible study. All it does is take an experience. My father taught Bible studies before he could even read the Bible. He just put it in front of him and said, now read that, and he explained it. We have no excuse. God has taken away every one of our excuses. He's given us liberty. He's given us power. He's given anointing. But it's time for the apostolic church to rise up and be apostolic again. It's time for us to go into the highways. It's time for us to go into the byways and compel them to come. So people like Kervin can come at 9:30 Saturday morning, even before we start outreach, and get baptized. Because we were believing God, we want someone to come before we start outreach. We start outreach every Saturday morning, 9:30. Pause it for a second. Amen. We start outreach every Saturday morning at 9:30. And then we pray for a half hour, 45 minutes, clean the church, and everyone goes on the street. And he said, I want a Bible study. Well, it was right on the weekend. We said, well, it's kind of tight. Maybe Monday or Tuesday we can teach it. He said, no, I can't wait till Monday or Tuesday. I need the Bible study now. So he said, our only free time is Saturday morning, 8:30. He said, okay, I'll take it. Amen. We taught him at 8:30, and by 9:30, he was in the waters of baptism. Now, amen? Anyone thankful for that? Because we serve in God that is able. Amen. And he wants to do the same thing in every life and person here. Now, this is just kind of a humorous note. I mean, this might not happen here, but in Antigua, we have bats, and they used to live at the church. And we found out where they were coming in the roof, so we plugged it up. And then they decided one night for pre-service prayer to join us, and about 13 bats came out of the ceiling to join us for prayer. And the Holy Ghost just fell. And people were just really praying then. But I want to point out, there's my wife, 6 months pregnant with a broom. We kindly evacuated all those bats. They're now attending church at another church in Antigua now. But we have no excuse, because we still had church. We didn't say, oh, there's bats in the church. Amen. I won't go there, but I remember Bishop sharing a story when he was pastor in some place with bats in the church. Amen. I won't share it, Bishop, but we draw inspiration from that story. Amen. So whenever bats join us for service, the Bible does say all creatures, but we kindly evacuate them, preach the gospel, and then say, now carry it somewhere else in Jesus' name. Amen. You can hit play for me, please. Amen. There's some of our young men that God's blessed us with. We had a kind of a Saturday men's fellowship and work day after we got done with outreach. How many is thankful for the blood of Jesus? Amen. There's Delvin Anthony being baptized in the blood of Jesus, having his sins washed away. Chanel Matthew, only 14 years old, being baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Her younger sister Tyra being baptized. And it wasn't even a service day. She just knew we were at the church and said, I need to get baptized. Howard got baptized because one of our young men, Alex, passed away back in November. That's his brother, Howard. And we tried everything we could do to get Howard to come to church, and he never would come. But when Alex passed away, he said, I better get in church because I don't know if I'm promised tomorrow. Alex is only 22 years old. And his brother Howard is now faithfully coming. He's actually in Jamaica right now, but he came, he got baptized, got the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you a little bit more about Howard in just a minute. There's Sean. He's a cashier at one of our local grocery stores. Met him one afternoon and said, hey, Sean, you're coming to church tonight. He said, okay, I am. I said, our young man said, yes, you are. He came, was baptized in Jesus' name, and was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible does say we are to compel them to come. So many times, you know, you got to actually compel people. And that's what we did with Sean. Said, Sean, you're coming to church tonight. He said, I am. We said, yes, you are. Amen. There's our youth camp that we have this year. Brother and Sister Meyer from Hartford, Wisconsin came down. Younger brother and Sister Meyer. And they did a phenomenal job. Our theme was on commitment. You're seeing Eric. I'll tell you a little bit more about Eric in a minute. But Eric got baptized a Sunday night before youth camp. So then we started youth camp, and all the young people were already baptized and filled. So we're like, well, Lord, you know, this is going to be the best youth camp we ever had, but all our young people are already baptized and filled. So we put it in your hands, and Brother and Sister Meyer did a phenomenal job. Our theme was uncommitted, taken from Psalms 27, verse 4. I encourage you after service or sometime this week, look up Psalms 27. It's a phenomenal psalm about commitment to Jesus, because we need to be committed. Amen. And throughout the course of that, we were still believing God. You know, God, you're going to do something great. Well, remember I told you about State College? Pause it for me, if you will. Remember I mentioned State College, Brother Duane, he's our professor there. Well, he had been talking to a young girl by the name of Luann, and he had been trying to witness and bring her to church, and she's the youth leader at another church on the island, and she could never come because our service times always conflicted. But she came that Tuesday night of youth camp. She brought her mother, and you can hit play for the next two baptisms. She brought her mother, Renee, and her aunt. You're going to see your aunt right here. There's your aunt, Leslie. And in the next picture, you can pause it there and there. She is getting baptized. Now, we went up to them and we said, hey, you know, this is what the Bible says, the plan of salvation. John 3:5, except a man be born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We laid it out very plain and very clear. And they said, we want that. So we prayed for all three of them. The mother and the aunt received the Holy Ghost even before we even got them in the baptismal tank. And we baptized all three of them in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Isn't God good? But then Luann, she was upset. She says, you can't let my mama and my auntie get the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to get it. So she was convinced that she was going to get it. So we said, well, when you come up out of the waters of baptism, you just lift up your hands and you begin to speak out whatever Jesus gives you. And would you believe it? God always answers. So she received the Holy Ghost, and it was so awesome, because when she received the Holy Ghost, she couldn't speak in English again. All she could do was speak in tongues as the Spirit gave her utterance. If you hit play for me. So that's Tuesday night. Then on Wednesday night, they sent another one of their church leaders, and Leona was baptized in the precious name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost on Wednesday night. Then on Thursday night, remember I mentioned Alex's funeral? Onika had come there and received the Holy Ghost. She hadn't been back since. Pause it for me, if you will. But she came back that night, was refilled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the precious name of Jesus. And then there's Hyacinth. Hyacinth happens to be the aunt of Geraldo and Eugene Brown. She only comes here and there. She doesn't really come too much to our church. She's the church administrator for another church there on the island, a different one from where Luann was, another church there. And her husband's in charge of all the bus driving, and she does their administration work. And she had come on Tuesday night, seeing the awesome things that God did. And then my wife did a wonderful job of talking to her and laying out the scriptures, but she didn't respond. And so on Thursday night, she's back, saw Anika getting baptized, and we're saying, hey, come on, Hyacinth, you need to respond. So finally, she's standing right. You see my wife in the corner praying for her, and she was standing right about there. And she finally, because in Antigua, you know, you don't come in and leave empty. That's just how it works. If God brings you through those doors, you're going to leave with something. So we just kind of ganged up around her and said, Hyacinth, you need to make the move tonight. So she looked up towards heaven and she said, Jesus, I give up. So we just started rejoicing. We grabbed her, got her in a row, baptized her. And then the one that didn't want to get in the tank, we couldn't get her out of the tank. She just stayed in there, spoke in tongues, and praised God. If you hit play for me. So that was on Thursday night. Then on Friday night, Luann said, hey, this is so good. Let me bring my whole church youth group. So she brought the whole youth group, the young little boy in the corner in the blue and yellow. He received the Holy Ghost. But you notice how we had to charge in there. Pause it for a sec. The Bible says you got to compel them to come. Amen. So Brother Myron did a phenomenal job. We said, you know, we did it kind of Brother Cole style. For those of you that don't know, he just lift your hands and begin to talk to God. And we tried that. Well, you know what they did? They just sat there. We said, lift your hands, and they just did this number. You know, cross their hands, because they were very, very thorough. You know, and then we said, well, come to the altar if you want a miracle. You know what they did? They just sat there. So then Pastor gave us a wave, and we charged in. Amen. You can hit play, because the Bible says compel them. Amen. We can't let people saying, I don't want it, stop them, because Dwayne got the Holy Ghost. Dariana got the Holy Ghost. She was also baptized in Jesus' name. And you can keep them in prayer. There's a picture of their youth group and ours. And God is continuing to do wonderful things there. Last year we had 45 people baptized in Jesus' name, 56 filled with the Holy Ghost. And the neat thing about that was, you can just pause it on that picture. The neat thing about it was, is we were believing God for at least 100. And we started our New Year's Eve service with 97. We could have just said, you know what, that's good. Let's just cut it there. We're close to our goal. But see, Jesus never gives up. Amen? Excuse me. Jesus never gives up, and neither should we. And we started New Year's Eve service with 97, and we ended with 101, either baptized or filled. And Howard was our 101 person to either be baptized or filled. This year, we're believing for 215. It's a lot higher goal than last year. So far, we've had 29 baptized and 18 filled with the Holy Ghost. And the neat thing about that was, is that's the first time since we've been there, amen, that more people have been baptized in a given year than have received the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we're excited about that. Since we've been there, 784 have received the Holy Ghost or been baptized. And I just, you know, it's through your prayers and support that make this possible. Amen. And we appreciate that. And I'm just going to go over this figure very quickly, and then I'm going to hand it over to Bishop. But in the last 16 years that we've been there, through either our budget or our father's budget, we've raised $470,000 for Antigua, and we appreciate that. But I want you to show you how your money's been well invested in Antigua. We own a 2-acre piece of property. A large building. It's 35. The sanctuary is about 34 wide by 78 long. Plus, we have two living quarters there. We have church vans and vehicles, and it's all valued at over $800,000. The Bible says, "When you put Him first, He'll rebuke the devourer." So, I want you to know that we more than doubled your investment. We appreciate that you've entrusted us with those funds that we could work in Antigua. We do have three projects. I'm going to ask you to please keep in prayer that we raise support. If God does lay it on your heart, you can talk to Pastor. And on the little tithe envelopes, you can just write it down as Antigua Project. Or if you want to give it to our monthly funds, you have Antigua 1, Antigua 2 on your tithe envelopes right here at church. Antigua 1 is my father and my parents. Antigua 2 is my wife and myself. But we're trying to build the baby's room. We showed you it up. But that money came out of our budget. We're trying to keep it back in our budget so we can keep it there for other projects that would arise. It cost us $4,000 for materials. We're also building a multi-purpose room. It's an extra overflow for Sunday school. It's our dorm room when we have youth camp. It's when we have conferences, and that's also going to be $4,000 that we're trying to build this year. And we're putting a solar system on the church this year. It's actually already on the church, but we're trying to raise the funds for it and get everything hooked up. It's costing us $25,000 US. And a lot of people say that's a lot of money to put into a solar system. You're very right, it is. But we've done the math, and we're trying to raise this money so then we can have that free to buy proper working buses, to build a daughter work, or whatever God needs us to do. But we've worked this out so you guys know and understand. Even if one penny doesn't come in for the solar system, just because how much power costs down there, we'll actually pay it off in 4.5 to 5 years just by paying our power bill. So that gives you an idea how much this solar system is valuable to us and the church share. We'll cut our deputation by $5,000 a year. But if we can raise that now, we can use it for other projects. And I want you to know your funds are well spent in Antigua and very much appreciated. Amen. With that being said, God bless you. Thank you for being so attentive. Amen. Bishop.
Oh, hallelujah. We'd like for the ushers to come at this time. You know, there's no gift that you can give to God that's greater than a church. When we take Christmas for Christ, we stress that the biggest gift should go to Jesus, because You can't give God anything greater than a church. If you go down to Antigua, you see the piece of property, you see the building, but there's more to a church than that. You saw all the people. And these people are missionaries first class. They talk to everybody they see. They're involved in the gospel and the spreading of the gospel. So you heard their special needs. If you can in any way support or contribute to these special needs, just write it on your envelope. We will be taking an offering here, a cash offering for Brother and Sister Smith. But if God lays it on your heart to help them with a monthly amount, this would be very, very much appreciated. And remember, you're actually giving the world another church. That's what we're doing. So let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to give to your cause. We love and appreciate the Smiths, and I pray, God, that you would move in a great way upon this congregation, upon our hearts, oh God, to help meet the needs that they have. And I pray, God, touch our people, help their hearts to be open to this need. We pray tonight in Jesus' name. God bless you as you give.
I know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that.
Let's sing that together.
I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross.
How many believe that tonight? Amen. He's altogether lovely. He's altogether worthy. Amen. In closing, before we give the altar call, there's just three short scriptures I want to read to you. If you have your Bibles, they'll put it on the screen. But at Ezekiel chapter 3, and this is kind of against protocol. Generally, the preacher's supposed to build you up to a climax and then give you that tough scripture. I'm just going to start with it tonight. Amen. I'm sorry if that's a little against protocol, but God has given us such a burden this year. We've never talked about this any other year. We've believed it in Antigua, and I don't have time to go into all the stories why we've started outreach. Really, the majority is it came from a rebuke from my pastor. Amen. But this scripture I'm about to read to you in Ezekiel chapter 3 is one of the driving forces why we do outreach in Antigua. In the last October 11th will make our four-year anniversary. But in the last 3 3/4 years, with an average of 8 people in attendance every Saturday, we've taught over 20,000 Bible studies on the streets of Antigua. Because we have a nation to reach and time is running out. But can I say, Calvary Gospel, you have a city and a state to reach and time is running out. God has equipped you with everything you need. But there needs people like Isaiah chapter 6 that said, God, here am I, send me, I'll go. But see, here's, Pastor, you read it tonight. Acts chapter 26, you've almost convinced me, but here's the Old Testament. Anyone believe the prophets? Then let me read to you from one of the prophets, Ezekiel chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. You know what he's trying to say, whether it be Praise Tabernacle in Antigua or Calvary Gospel in Madison or any born-again believer in this world. Hear that word at my mouth, of the words of my mouth, and give the people warning. Because here's where it comes to the church.
Verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I, somebody say I, this is Jesus talking. This is God. He says, when I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Verse 21, nevertheless, aren't you thankful for that? Nevertheless, here's our promise. If thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. You know what Jesus was trying to tell the church through the prophets? Oh, I'm born again. Thank God. We can shout for that, and that's joy. The Bible says there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. But then the ball's in my court. Because God can't reach this city without you and me. God can't reach Antigua without a missionary. And God will not reach this world without someone to stand and preach the gospel. But here's what condemned me, and not really condemned, but convicted. Because Jesus never condemns, he convicts. And here's what convicts us every week is, God, we have so many people to reach. And you said you would require their blood in my hand. I don't want to stand before Jesus on Judgment Day. And he say, I put 87,000 souls because I knew you were able to reach them. But you didn't teach them no Bible studies. You didn't go out and sow seed. And Calvary Gospel, he's placed all of Madison and Dane County and this state in your hand. But I don't want to stand before Jesus. I don't want you to have to stand there. Say, I didn't reach him. Because see, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8 says, and I'm just jumping to the end here, and you can go home and read this for yourself. It says, God rewards us directly based on our labor. God's going to give us a harvest in Antigua directly based on my labor. And he's going to give you a harvest in Madison directly related to your labor. So I ask, is there any laborers that will go in the field? I want to leave you with this. Can you stand with me all over this house? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul said, I didn't come. Put it up on the screen. 1 Corinthians, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Calvary Gospel, you know why a pig farmer that couldn't read and couldn't write can be a missionary and impact thousands around the world? Because it wasn't with enticing words of man's wisdom. You know why Jesus can use you all around this city? Because it's not by your strength. It's not by your might, but it's by his Spirit. It's by his Spirit that he draws the sinner to repentance. And see, here's the key, and I'm closing. If you want, I'm asking you to come to this altar if you want to have a burden for souls like never before. Because there's angels all over this place, and they're going to place a burden on you in the Holy Ghost. But here's what I want you to understand. We've taught so many Bible studies. And here's the question that many people ask. How many did you baptize? How many did you pray through? Well, Paul said he didn't come to baptize, but to preach the gospel. See, we've got outreach all wrong. And I believe in baptism. I believe in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I do. But we go on outreach to baptize people and pray them through, and that's all wrong. Because I can't save them. God said, some water and some plant, but he alone can give the increase. See, until we come back to the basics, 1 Corinthians 3, verses roughly 20, or 11, sorry, it says, we can't lay no other foundation than that which is laid,
Right there it is, that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. See, when you preach baptism and infilling, oh, you might get some response. But then you're going to have to fight to keep them. But when you just preach the gospel, people automatically get baptized and filled. Because baptism and infilling is a byproduct of the gospel. Because that's what the gospel is. It's the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope of glory. It is that redeeming power. And what I'm going to ask you to do all over this house right now, could you lift your hands towards heaven and say, God, just like Isaiah, God, I'm a man of unclean lips and an unclean tongue, but I'll go. I'll reach my co-workers. I'll reach my family. Come on, that's it. Would you lift up a travail all over this house? Could we shake all of Dane County tonight with born-again believers and say, God, I'll go. I'll go. Come on, give them your heart tonight as they sing. Give them your heart. Give them your heart. Talk to him. Let him minister to you. Let him place names on you.